Let's bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the blessings and all that you do and all that you've blessed us with. We are especially rejoicing during this service, knowing that on this day we'll see several commit their lives to you. We thank you for that. We thank you for them. And we thank you for this feast. We pray that it's been a blessing for those here. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. Excuse my voice. And maybe my energy level may be just a bit down today. Still recovering whatever was shared with me just a few days ago. Where today we're going to focus on one of the most important, and really the most important commitment we will ever make in this life. And that is baptism into Yahshua's name. There's not a greater calling. There's not a greater purpose than for baptism. It's through baptism that we find the forgiveness of sins. It's also through baptism that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. It is also through baptism that we become part of Messiah, that we become part of his body, that we become part of the family. It is also through baptism that we have the hope of the resurrection. There's lots of benefits and reasons why we should be immersed into Yahshua's name. There's many, many reasons this is crucial for a believer in the Messiah. Now, one of the points I always want to focus on in the baptismal counseling is the concept of commitment. This is a big deal. This is, again, the most important commitment we will ever make. I always say something like, you know, we believe marriage is for life. We are very strong on marriage. But we believe that baptism is even greater. Yahshua, Luke 9, verse 62, he speaks about this commitment or a similar commitment. Here's what he says. He says, and Yahshua said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, once we commit to the waters of baptism, there's no going back on this promise. There's no redos, as I say within the counseling. There's no saying, I made a mistake. There's no, I want to be re-immersed. No, once we make that commitment, we have an obligation. This is a lesson for those seeking baptism, and also for those already immersed. This concept of not looking back, this concept of focusing and staying true to the commitment we made at baptism. Understand that the life of a believer is not a part-time job. This is not something we partially do. If we do, as we find within the word, Yahshua is going to spew us out of his mouth, as we find in the book of Revelation. He says that if you are lukewarm, he says if you are cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He says that either we're all in, hot or nothing, either fully commit or do nothing at all. Either we're all in or we're all out. If we're not fully committed, especially after baptism, we're not going to be found worthy. And that's a sobering thought, and I pray that we all understand that. If we are not fully committed, we will not be found worthy at the return of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. This is the message and lesson we find here. Those who backslide after repenting will not be fit, as we find, for the kingdom of Yahweh. Again, a very sobering thought, a thought I hope and pray that each one of us are very cognizant of today. That no matter what we do, that if we go against the promise, the pledge, the commitment that we make today, that there's nothing we can do to be fit for the kingdom of Yahweh. And I would also remind, this would also apply to those who've already been immersed. If we've been immersed and we're complacent, if we're complacent with the commitment we made at baptism, that we too will not be found worthy of the kingdom to come. This is probably the greatest concept for me with baptism. This is the thing I focus on most within the baptismal counseling, emphasizing this point that once we make a commitment, that once we obligate ourselves to this walk, that there is no turning back, there is no turning around, there is no going halfway with his word. We must fully pursue the truth. There's no turning back once we've accepted the blood of Yahshua the Messiah through baptism. Now, according to some people, water baptism is no longer necessary today. I want to review this for just a few moments, take a few minutes to review why water baptism is important. It's the most important step, I believe, of a believer. I don't believe that there's a greater step, a greater commitment, a greater pledge, a greater obligation we make in this life than for baptism in Yahshua's name. John chapter 3. This is when Nicodemus comes to Yahshua. It says, Yahshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. So we see here that to see the kingdom of Yahweh, to receive salvation, we must be born again. Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Evidently, Nicodemus was old. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, as we see here, unless a person is born again, they cannot enter into Yahweh's kingdom. That's what it says. So what is being born again? Yahshua says here that we must be born of water into the Spirit. Born of water into the Spirit. That is how we are born again. Being born of water refers to baptism. Or some say this is simply the natural birth process. But that makes no sense because we all go through that process. Yahshua said that we must be born of water. This is something different. This is referring to baptism. What does it mean when Yahshua says here that we must be born of the Spirit? We believe this is referring to the resurrection, the first resurrection, when Yahshua returns. When this happens, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, says that we're going to be changed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. In fact, in this same passage, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So we find that Yahshua says here in John 3 that a man must be born again of the water and the Spirit to be fit for the kingdom of Yahweh, to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. Paul says the same thing, referring to the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. We see here that being born again is a two-step process. It begins with water baptism, when we put to death our old man, and it is finalized, if you will, at the resurrection, at Yahshua's return. Water baptism is a crucial step. Is an absolute crucial step for all believers. And I don't push anybody towards baptism because I believe that baptism should be an individual choice. I believe this is something we should be convicted of. But at the same time, I encourage people never to forsake baptism, never to push baptism off. I was talking to one of the candidates this year because I've seen this happen. People push it off, something happens, and they lose that opportunity. I've seen people die tragically, even fairly young, that had an opportunity for baptism, had a desire for baptism, but chose not to pursue it. So once we were in that state, we no longer have the opportunity for baptism. So I would encourage anybody that is considering pursuing baptism to pursue it with the acknowledgement and the understanding that once you do it, you're fully committed, that you're resolute in your mind. Listen, we will never be perfect. We will never be perfect, we will never know everything, and we will never have all the gifts that some have. But if we have a resolute desire and goal to serve Yahweh, we should pursue baptism. Now in Acts 2 verse 38, we find one of the first examples of baptism. Acts 2 verse 38 and said, Then Peter said unto them, Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua Messiah for the remission of sins. And you shall do what? It says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, before we talk about what we find here, let me give you some background as to what led up to this point. Number one, this took place, as many of us know, during the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. Number two, a large group of people just witnessed the power of Yahweh's Holy Spirit through those who could speak in tongues, and also heard Peter's dynamic message on the death and resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah. As a result, the people were pricked in their hearts. And in verse 37, they said, What shall we do? You see, they were in remorse. They were in remorse because they fully understood at this point what they had done by putting to death the Son of Yahweh, Yahshua the Messiah. They were in remorse and agony. Peter responds here in verse 38 by saying, repent and be baptized. This is why we're immersed. This is why we're baptized. These four words are some of the most important words we find in Scripture. Based on what we find here, what's the first thing we must do for baptism? What is the very first thing we should be doing before we're immersed into Yahshua's name? Peter says here we must first repent. We must first repent of our past sins. What does it mean to repent? In the Greek, this word literally means to think differently, to reconsider. It's not just a verbal remorse. It's not being sorry for what we've done. It's much more than that. It's being resolute within our minds that we are going to walk in a different way, that we are going to walk according to Yahweh's truth, that we are going to forsake our sinful man, that we are going to strive every day to do the best we can to walk according to Yahweh's truth. So before baptism, we must consider our past ways, and we must have a new perspective on life, a perspective that puts Yahweh first, a perspective that realizes that He is our number one priority, that He is the thing we must pursue first and foremost. In essence, to repent is to turn away from those things that offend Yahweh and be committed to living a different way, a better way. It's for this reason we reject this idea of infant baptism, by the way, or child baptism. I had somebody ask me recently, or can I baptize my, I don't know, 13, 14-year-old? And I said, no. And it's because of repentance. A child, a teenager even, does not have the maturity to understand the obligation of repentance and the obligation of living a life that is completely devout to the one we worship. In fact, as we see from Scripture, the age of accountability, which we believe applies to baptism, is 20 years of age. Let me share with you some examples. So we know that was counted as part of the census, all those 20 years old and above that. We see that in Numbers 1, verse 3. We also know that those 20 years and older was to pay the half shekel atonement offering, as we see in Exodus 30, verse 14. We also know that those 20 years and older could serve in the temple, Leviticus 27, 3, and Ezra 3, verse 8. We also know that those 20 years and older could serve in the military, Numbers 26, verse 2. And the big one here is we also know those 20 years and older were not allowed into the promised land. They all died in the wilderness. So if you were 20 years or older, you died in the promised land. If you were under that, you did not. Now, the only exceptions to this was Joshua and Caleb, and we see that in Numbers 32, verse 11. So we see many examples as to why the age of accountability is 20. And again, for me, it's this last one most important, because it shows those under 20 were not held accountable for their sins. What they did not keep them out of the promised land. But for those 20 years and older, we find that those of this age, that they all died in the wilderness. That Yahweh said that they would not be allowed, because again, they were responsible for their sins. They were accountable for their sins. But those, again, under the age of 20 were not. Well, let's move on now and talk about the actual act of baptism. The word baptism comes from the Greek baptizo. Baptizo means to immerse, to submerge, to overwhelm. This is why baptism is a full immersion into water, not just a sprinkling as some do. It's a full immersion. Now, what's the purpose of baptism? Well, as we see in this passage, baptism is for the remission of sins, first and foremost. And that's why, as a minister, I would encourage everybody, if you have not been immersed and you're seeking immersion and you understand the truth and you're willing to live the truth and you're resolute in your mind to live the truth, I would encourage you to not to postpone baptism, because it is for the remission of sins. Realize that baptism is the only way we find a washing of sins. No other way do we find this remission of sins. There's no act. There's nothing we can do to find remission of sins except baptism into Yahshua's name. We find also that the Holy Spirit is given at baptism. The Ruach Kodesh, Yahweh's power, is given to us upon baptism. This is another reason why baptism is so important. We know this occurs through the laying on of hands. Baptism is actually two parts. We have the submersion and we have the laying on of hands. We also see here the baptism was done in the singular name of Yahshua the Messiah. And as we know from Acts, this was the only form of baptism used by the apostles. I want to share just a few quick examples of this. So we have an example of, oh, here it is, conclusion. I gave that conclusion already to you. So Acts 10 verse 48 says, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yahshua." So again, we see here the example of baptism into the singular name of our Savior. We have another example in Acts 8, 15 through 16. It says, "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua." We see once more that baptism is in the singular name of our Savior. One more example. Acts 19, 4 through 5 says, "And then Paul, or then said Paul, John verily baptized you through a baptism of repentance." And here we also find rebaptism. Rebaptism, because these folks were only baptized into John's baptism. It was only one of repentance, and Paul explains that here. He says, "Saying unto the people that they should believe that on him, on Yahshua, we should come after him." That is, on Messiah Yahshua. "When they heard this, they were baptized," or rebaptized, really, "in the name of the sovereign Yahshua." So here we find multiple baptisms, and all in the same form, and that is into the name of Yahshua. And this is why, when we baptize, we say into the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Because again, baptism is in this singular name. This is also, again, why we encourage rebaptism for those who were immersed into a different name or form. As Paul says in Ephesians 4, 5, he says, "One master, one faith, one baptism." There's not many baptisms. There's not many forms of baptisms. This idea that all leads to the same place, where Yahweh knows our motivation, Yahweh knows what we're striving to accomplish. As believers, we should do it right. I'm not saying those previous baptisms meant nothing. In fact, I would say that those previous baptisms were like John's baptisms. They were baptisms of repentance. But once we know to do right, once we understand the truth, once we fully understand what Yahweh is conveying within his word, we're to pursue that. And as we find within the word, baptism is in to the name of Yahshua the Messiah. There is no other baptism. In fact, Peter in Acts 4, verse 12 says this. He says, "Neither is your salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It's important to realize the context of what Peter is referring to. He's referring to the name of Yahshua the Messiah. And he says, there are no other name whereby we are saved, except for one, and that is our Savior. We must be immersed into Yahshua's name. Only through his name do we find remission of sins. As we saw in Acts 19, those who are immersed into a different form or a different name, we find the example of a rebaptism into Yahshua's name. Now, some may ask about baptism into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We also find that in Scripture. Let's turn there for just a moment. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Based on this, most believe that baptism should be done in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we've already seen, all baptisms, though, were done how? They were done in the singular name of Yahshua the Messiah. The fact is, not once did the apostles baptize into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't that an amazing thing? Not once. Not one example do we find this being used. So how did this originate? Or, as we note, in the Restoration Study Bible. This possibly came through the church. So here's our study note from the RRSP. It says, this Trinitarian formula is highly suspect. According to the Jerusalem Bible, quote, it may be that this formula, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so far as the fullness of expression is concerned, is a reflection of the liturgical uses established later in the primitive community. Well, that's a fancy way of saying that this may have came from the early church. It will be remembered that Acts speaks of baptizing in the name of Yahshua only. Equally important is Eusebius' omission of this phrase. The facts are in summary that Eusebius quotes Matthew 20:19 21 times, either omitting everything between nations and teachings or in the form, make disciples of all nations in my name. The latter being form, being the more frequent. And that latter or later excerpt there was from the Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics. All immersions in the New Testament were done in the singular name of Yahshua, Acts 2:38, 8:16, 10:48, 19:5, and 22:16. So as we see here, the form in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit probably likely came by some sort of church tradition and later crept in. But as many acknowledge, most acknowledge, baptism was always done in the name of Yahshua. You know why we don't see that more often is a mystery to me. You think we would. Of course, they don't read their Bibles for anything else, so why would they read their Bibles for baptism? Now, in Romans 6, Paul explains the symbolism of baptism. I want to review that. Romans 6:3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Messiah were baptized into his death. You know, as we see here, baptism symbolizes the death of Yahshua the Messiah. So when we're immersed into Yahshua's name, we symbolically die to Messiah. Through baptism, we accomplish two things. Number one, we put to death our carnal man. And number two, we become part of Yahweh's family. We become part of the Messiah. And that is such a wonderful thing. You know, some people, they believe that all they simply need to do is confess and they're part of the body. Scripturally speaking, this isn't the case. Scripturally speaking, we must do something to become part of the body. And that something is baptism in Yahshua's name. Number two, we become part of Yahweh's own family. We've talked about that. You know, as we saw in John 3, this is also how we enter Yahweh's kingdom. So both are required. Both are required to accomplish this. We know that flesh and blood cannot receive Yahweh's kingdom. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15. This is, again, why baptism in Yahshua's name is so essential and so necessary for salvation. If we have no remission of sin, if we are not part of Messiah, listen, we will not receive the resurrection at Yahshua's coming. We won't. I'm going to continue on here. Romans 4 through 5, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now listen to what it says here. This is very powerful. It says, that like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, notice the connection with baptism and his death. Paul says, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul verifies that baptism again represents a death. And it represents a death to Yahshua and also a death to our old man. He explains that after baptism, we must walk in newness of life. What does it mean to walk in newness of life? In the Greek, this simply means a renewal of life. It means that we walk in a new way, that we start over as a new person with new goals and aspirations. Goals that make Yahweh the center and focus of our lives. Goals that are pursuant of his truth. We are dead to our old man. And we must walk in a new and better way if we are going to be found worthy of his calling. You see, even after baptism, we must walk in newness of life. If we don't continue our walk, and that's why it's so important that once we commit to this truth, once we commit to baptism, once we commit to this obligation, that we are faithful to it. This is what it means to walk in newness of life. Now, according to Barnes' notes, this is also Hebraism. Here's what it says in Barnes' notes. It says, this is a Hebraism to denote new life. We should rise with Messiah to a new life. And having been made dead to sin. And that's what baptism is. It's a death to sin. It's a remission of sin. It's a removal of sin. It says, as he was dead in the grave, we should rise to holy life. As he rose from the grave. By our very baptism, by our very profession, we have become dead to sin, as Messiah became dead. And being devoted to him by that baptism, we are bound to rise, it says, as he did, to a new life. So we see here, when we die to Messiah, we die to sin. And we also find a new hope. And that's a third reason why baptism is so important. In verse 5, Paul explains that when we are buried with him at baptism, that we will also in his likeness share in his resurrection, and we will do so when he returns. This is such a, for me, a powerful statement. Realizing that baptism is not only for the remission of sins, it is not only to become part of Messiah, it is not only for the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is also for the promise of the resurrection. Those who desire to be resurrected, those who desire to receive everlasting life, Scripture says that they must die. And they must die through water baptism, and specifically into the name of Yahshua the Messiah. There is one baptism, there is one master, there is one faith. We must die to our old man. We must be buried, and we must rise as a new creature. And we must devote our lives to him so that when he does return, we will be found worthy of this great resurrection. And we will be raised as corruptible or incorruptible, raised as immortal, raised as angelic. So to be resurrected with the Messiah, we must first die to him through baptism. Very important point. An extremely important point. Now we see, starting in verse 6, that we must also live a life free from sin. Romans 6, 6 through 7, and also 12 through 13, it says, knowing this, the old man, representing who we were prior to baptism, our old man is impelled with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What is sin, by the way? Sin is the transgression of Yahweh's commandments. Sin is a violation of his word. So we must not violate his truth once we've gone through the waters of baptism. That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We're freed from sin, but we must also live a life free from sin transgression. It says, let not, now this is verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. And Paul speaks about this, by the way, in Galatians 5. He speaks about how our flesh and spirit war against one another. And this occurs after baptism too. Some people believe that after immersion, that they're going to be free from this. That no matter what happens, that Yahweh is going to release them from these urges and from this conflict. I'm telling you now, that's not going to happen. Paul even understood this. Paul said those things he wanted to do, he did not do, even after his conversion. It's a constant struggle, whether or not we're immersed. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members unto Elohim as those that are alive or from the dead. You see, that's what happens at baptism. We again die to our old man, and we immediately rise as a new creature. It is literally a death to our old man. We die to our old man. And your members as instruments of righteousness. Right, what is righteousness? It's right living. Living according to Yahweh's ways, it says, unto Elohim. Paul explains here that at baptism, our old man is impelled. It is put to death unto Yahshua. Now, what's the reason for this? Or the reason is simple. We're to live a life of free from sin. And also we find remission of sin. This is also the reason we must repent before baptism. After baptism, we can no longer justifiably live a life of sin. We can no longer engage in behavior that is in opposition to our Father's word. This is why Scripture describes baptism as a death to our old man. If something is dead, that thing no longer exists. Who we were before should no longer exist. If we engaged in behavior that was unbecoming, we should no longer engage in that behavior. If we said or did things that were in opposition to Yahweh's word, we should no longer say or do those things. This is again what it means to die to our old man. You know, Scripture says that the dead cannot praise Yahweh. The dead cannot praise Yahweh. Baptism works the same way. When we are immersed, when we die to our old man, when we rise as a new creature, when we should be walking in newness of life, we cannot continue in sin. The commitment that we make and made at baptism holds as true today as it did when we went through the water of grave, and especially for those, again, that were already and have been immersed. Realize that this message is not only for those being immersed. This message should be a reminder to all of us, to everybody listening to this message that's been immersed, to continue with that obligation we made at baptism, to realize that we still have an obligation and a calling to live according to Yahweh's ways. Some people over the years, they can become complacent. As believers in the faith, we should never become complacent. If we've made the obligation, I don't care if it's been 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, that we are to hold true to that commitment we made at baptism. In verse 13, Paul says that we should yield our members as instruments of righteousness. This simply means that we're to strive to follow his word. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is living according to Yahweh's word. It's amazing when you ask people in the world, what is righteousness or what is sin? They have no clue. They have no clue. They will give all kinds of definitions, but the definition we find in Scripture is those who follow Yahweh's word. That is righteousness. Righteousness is living a just life based on the virtue of Yahweh's word. It requires obedience and compliance to him. If we can't obey our Father in heaven, we can't and we are not walking in newness of life. Because again, that's what it means to walk in newness of life, to walk in a new way, a greater way, a way that's in compliance to his word. Now in Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, we find that after baptism, we no longer belong to us. This is a great passage for baptism. It says, if you then be risen with Messiah, how does that happen? That happens through baptism. Seek those things which are above, which Messiah sits on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And that's hard to do, but this is a great example that we should be pursuing those things from heaven, not on earth. We should be pursuing those things of Yahweh's word from above and not on what we see on this earth. It says, for you are dead. You are dead. A crucial concept for those immersed. We are dead. And your life is hidden with Messiah and Yahweh. When Messiah, listen, it says, who is our life? So some may ask, how or who should I live for? We find the answer here. We should be living for our Savior. He is the one who has freed us from the death of sin. Shall appear then, shall you also appear with him in glory. When we undergo the waters of baptism, we die again to our old man. And we rise as new creatures in Messiah. Scripture says that we were bought with a price. That price being the shed blood of our Savior. This is why Paul says what he does here. This is why Paul says the Messiah is our life. Those immersed in Yahshua's name, they have no life outside of Messiah. Everything we do, everything we say, every action we make should be based on our Savior. Should be based on our Savior. The last thing Paul says here is this. He says, when Messiah, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. As we saw in Romans, when we're immersed in Yahshua's name, we will also, the promise is, we will also partake in his death. In his resurrection. So when we die to Messiah, we will also partake in his resurrection. And that's what we find here, that when Yahshua comes, we will see his appearance, and we will appear with him in glory. We're going to be changed. But again, this all begins with baptism. The word glory, by the way, is important. It's from the same word used to describe Yahshua's glory, doxa in the Greek. It means splendor, brightness. It refers to the angelic presence, which we will receive at the resurrection. One of the definitions found in the Thayer's Greek lexicon is, quote, the glorious condition of blessedness, into which is appointed and promised that true believers shall enter after their Savior's return from heaven. I've given messages, many messages, on the resurrection. It's one of my favorite topics. And when you understand how awesome the resurrection is, everything in this life should be diminished, should mean nothing. When we read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that we're going to rise, and the death itself will no longer exist, and that when we rise, we're going to rise in power, we're going to rise in strength, we're going to rise in everything we're not, and we're going to be changed into spirit beings. We're going to be as the angels of in heaven, as Yahshua said. Now, before this happens, beginning in verse 5, Paul says that we're to mortify our bodies. Now, this is something we should certainly do at baptism, but a message we should remember throughout our days. Colossians 3, 5 through 10, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of Elohim comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. You see, this is what we were all guilty of at some point. But no longer are we walking in this way. It says, but now you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. And that's something I'll just emphasize once real quickly here. Filthy communication, I believe we should never be using foul language as a believer. And I know some believers still do. And I would just encourage everybody here listening, we should never be using foul language as a believer. We should remove that evil communication from our lips. Never use filthy communication out of your mouth, it says. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. This is referring to baptism. This is referring to when we are changed. This is referring to the death of who we are now into who we should be based on Scripture. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What does Paul mean here when he says that we are to mortify our members? Mortify our members. The Greek word is nekro and refers to deaden or to subdue. This is what it means to mortify our members. It means that we are to destroy those members. It means those members should be dead, that we are to kill or subdue those members of our flesh. He mentions here fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection or lust, evil concupiscence or longing for that which is forbidden, and covetousness. You see, these things are all members of our flesh. And Paul says as believers, when we put to death our old man, that we are to put down these old members. Baptism is a burial of our old man. It's a burial of our old sins. It's a burial of who we were before. And it is a resurrection, a symbolic resurrection of a new man who is in compliance to his word. We also see here the consequence for those who refuse to repent. It says here that they are going to receive the wrath of Elohim. Yahweh is a very merciful, mighty one. Some of my favorite passages in Scripture is regarding his mercy. Psalms 103 is a very merciful passage. He says there he's going to remove our sins as far as east is from the west. He's going to completely purge our iniquity. And also Isaiah 1, verse 18, he says, come now, let us reason together. He says, I'm going to make your sin like scarlet, or even though it's like scarlet, it's going to be like a wool. It's going to be white. It's going to be washed away. And this is during, in many cases, during Israel's apostasy, Yahweh still had mercy upon his people. But we also know that those who willfully, deliberately defy him, that there will be a consequence to pay. Some people believe that Yahweh is like this grandfather, this loving grandfather who could never punish anyone. Scripture shows otherwise. Scripture shows that those who deliberately defy his will, that deliberately defy his word, that choose to live a life of sin, that they will pay the penalty for that choice. This is what it means to mortify your old man and to walk in newness of life, to walk according to Yahweh's way, to devote our lives to him through baptism. Again, there's not a greater commitment. There's not a greater calling. There's not a greater pledge for our atonement and for our remission we must make as believers. We must, and there's not a greater step that we must make as believers. We must accept the blood of Yahshua the Messiah through baptism if we have any hope for the resurrection to come. So I would encourage everybody here to consider their own baptism if it was done already. Does not matter if it was 1, 5, 10, 50 years. And also for those being immersed today, for you to realize the commitment and the pledge you make, to realize that the walk you are choosing today is forever. It's forever. And it will be a blessing beyond measure as long as we fully commit and fully strive to follow his word.